Now, friends, let's pray together. Our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, we praise Thee for the promises of the Gospel, which are brought to us through the work of our dear Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise Thee that for His sake we are invited to come to Thee, O Lord, the kindest invitation ever offered to needy sinners. Yet, O Lord, we are so sad that we are by nature so reluctant to see that which is most beneficial to our souls. Pity us and help us. O Lord, grant us grace that we see our sad state and repent of it and seek Thee early. O, touch our hearts and bring us to Thyself. Bless this study to us, O Lord, and show us our own need. Humble us before Thee, that we come to Thee to find forgiveness of sins through our dear Saviour. Look upon us, Father, and bless us. For we ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour, and for His sake. Amen. Friends, I'm turning this morning to the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 53. Isaiah, chapter 53. And I read verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now, this is about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's coming to do. I mean, the chapter and what he's coming to do for needy sinners. This is that wonderful book, chapter that the Ethiopian eunuch was reading in Acts chapter 8, that the Lord sent Philip to explain it to him and to show him that these are about the Lord Jesus Christ, who will be the suffering servant of God, who will come and carry out that great and noble work of salvation for needy sinners. And in the midst of the prophecy of the prophet Isaiah, he, in this chapter, also show us the situation of those for whom he came to die, so that we will appreciate all the more why he came to carry out such a work. And so here we are given a picture of human beings, people as we are, and our state as it is like, as God views us, the Almighty God views us, and obviously his view is the perfect and the most absolutely right view. And so it perfectly and exactly and precisely describes us. And in this, the Lord portrays to us who we are and what we are doing and have done. And yet at the same time, this wonderful verse also points to what God also has done. And so this is a very beautiful verse. And we want to simply pick out several themes, several thoughts from the lines and the words, dwelling entirely on this verse and hoping that we find its rich truths profitable to our souls. So our theme is spiritual diversion. Spiritual diversion. And this is the state in which we are. And the prophet speaks about that. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all we like sheep. Now, it is quite striking right at the beginning that the Almighty God sees us as sheep. In fact, human pride will make us think of ourselves as something wonderful. Perhaps we would like to think of ourselves as lions and the elephant and the eagle and these wonderful things. When people want to describe how great they are and how, what the great institutions they built, they want to use such things as the logo and things like that. Have you considered how many nations have the eagle as part of their logo, and institutions of all manner of very, very admirable animals? In fact, I don't know what I've met any institution that has made a sheep as its logo, as is our picture representing it. Why? Because there's nothing attractive, really, about sheep. We only think of it as a need for ourselves. But that's exactly how the Almighty God sees us. however great we may think of ourselves, however, but this is entire human race, all of us in together, we are like sheep that have an owner. And that's the very starting point. The psalmist tells us, I think it's Psalm 100, we are the sheep of his pasture. The idea is that we have an owner. We are never independent creatures. A sense of independency is a lie. And it's a self-inculcated thing in order to make us more cut off from God. We are never independent creatures. And we are, as I mentioned, we are owned by somebody. We are not like wild sheep, because you would see, because it says that we've gone astray, showing that we are not a kind of a wild sheep, if there's any creature like that in the wild, where we simply roam about and do the things as we choose. No, we are very domesticated. We are a household sheep. And that is what God says. We have an owner. And God Almighty is our owner. He made us. And we are answerable to him. And we are in his sight. We can never really do without him. But this is what the sheep, all of us, have tried to do. And our present condition reflects exactly that. We are seen as sheep also because we are needy, as I said. We can never be independent. We are needy creatures, dependent upon the good of our Maker and of our Lord. A sheep depends upon good pasture. We depend on God's provision of air and food and water. These things that, do you realize that some of the things that are most fundamental to our lives, God in his mercy has made them most abundant, that we practically pay nothing for them. We are often reminded that we only pay for how we get the water into our houses, but that the water itself is free. They keep telling us to convince us to pay our bills and things like this. But surely we are needy creatures because we are ever in need of a shepherd, like sheep. We need guidance. We need defense. We need provision. And though pride makes us behave as if we don't, friends, that is the very reason why we plunge into all manner of troubles and our situation ever grows worse. That's all the more reason why we are cut off from God and we have no relationship at all with him. To our own hurt, now and in all eternity, we cannot turn away from God without consequences, even in this life, because we are sheep. We are sheep also because we are very weak. And in fact, you know, of all animals, sheep is one of those that is most attractive to the predators. So that we are an easy, weak prey. We are easily preyed upon. And we have very little defenses. And so it is. Oh, how easily we are lured by the world. How easily we are lured by all manner of ideas. If only the ideas are just presented to us in an attractive way, such that we can see some benefit for ourselves, we will go for it. And we will never see the hidden poison and the hidden hook that would really ruin us. And so the Lord sees us as sheep. And this is a kind of a sympathetic view, you see. It's a kind of a sympathetic view, an appealing view, a view to humble us and to make us aware of our case. You see, you can think of a child who is rebelling against his parents. And he's running all over the place, doing one thing and another against the parents, really wanting to live a life of a total sin and experimentation. And then he entirely has forgotten that he has a serious illness, that he easily can collapse any time, that he really is suffering some very serious problem. And he doesn't seem to be aware of it. And imagine the parent called him and said that, son or daughter, you are sick. You are a very feeble young man running out there. Now, it's humbling. It deflates the pride of letting that son thinking himself very powerful and able to be independent and to run away. But at the same time also, it is a kind of a gentle reminder to let him begin to acknowledge the fact that he needs help. And so the verse starts with a very humbling description intended to bring us to see our need of God. And so all we like sheep, all of us as like sheep, we are compared to the sheep, have gone astray. So there's the first part. What this sheep has done is that we have gone astray. In fact, we have gone so far from God and have lost so much of the beautiful characteristics of a sheep that you know that in the Bible, we are, if we are cut off from God to our very dying day, at the judgment day, the Savior describes us as goats. Yes, we began life as sheep, as it were, as a God sheep created by God. But having cut ourselves from him, we lost everything. We lost every gentleness and every beauty and everything that will let us appear people can be drawn into God. And we became worse and worse. But there's this universal case with all of us. There's this universal diversion. All of us have gone astray. Not a single one of us remains. All of us have gone astray. That the sheep went astray suggests that it went without the shepherd, or it became heedless to the shepherd. He wouldn't listen to the shepherd anymore. And so the shepherd was beckoning, the shepherd was doing the best he could, perhaps. The sheep somehow became so rebellious and went off, drawn by perhaps some attractive foliage or something like that there, an attractive food, pasture, and the sheep couldn't think of possible dangers there. It simply followed its instincts and the smell and things like those and went astray and ignored the shepherd entirely and had nothing to do with him. Now, the language of the verse therefore tells us that this going astray was willful. It was deliberate. It wasn't a kind of an accident, a kind of a passive thing. No, it was deliberate. The sheep heard the shepherd's voice, but chose to go that way. And so you see a sheep that is really taking on habits that you'd be surprised with, isn't it? And so we've gone astray, and this applies to every one of us, my dear friends. We have gone without a shepherd. We've chosen not to have God as our shepherd. We've chosen not to have the Savior as our shepherd. And yet remember that this is the most dangerous thing for a sheep to do. It is exactly what a sheep should never do, because sheep are very vulnerable. And soon predators will come in. And they will begin to go around the sheep and take advantage of it and kill it or maim it or wound it or something like that. And so it is a willful act, and then it is a dangerous act. Now, it tells us that somehow, as I said, something drew away the sheep, and it is not willing as yet to come home. We've all gone astray. We do not want to come home. We do not want to see God. We want to mention his name, but we really don't want to come to him. We are, every one of us, like this. And so we are drawn entirely away. We've left the fold. There was a fold for us. The shepherd had created a fold where he protected all his sheep and cared for them. And somehow we left and entirely went away from our shepherd. And this is a picture of us, my dear friends, that we left the wonderful opportunity of communion with God. We left off the sense of God and the sense of our dependence upon him. And as I said, and we overtake him by pride. And we never thought of God. We only thought of running away from him and going as far from him as we can. And this is all of us, my dear friends. Also, this, as I mentioned, this desertion, this diversion is willful and it is punishable. We need to stress that. It isn't simply that we have a kind of something else we want to explore. No, it is punishable. And our passage will show that even more later. And so we are told that we have all gone astray, every one of us. There's a very positive bit here about our going astray, that we, because we are sheep and have gone astray, it implies that we knew the voice of a shepherd. We knew the shepherd voice, only we chose to go away from it so deliberately that we may no longer recognize his voice. But as I mentioned, we're not wild sheep. We're entirely sheep kept at home and taken to the pasture by a shepherd. That's the picture we are giving. And so the fact that we've gone astray means that we once knew a shepherd voice. The sheep may have gone so far until it cannot hear the shepherd voice or even make it out entirely. And so it is with us. My dear friends, you go on. Diversion goes on gradual, my dear friends. You are not a Christian. You have not come seeking the Lord. You've not come to repent and to yield your life to Him. Step by step, you become worse off until you get to a point where conscience hardens, the heart hardens, and you hardly can have any concern about spiritual things, any concern about eternal things, any concern about even death and your final standing before God. I wonder whether anyone listening has gotten to this point where you started off gradually. You start, yes, you'll continue living in sin, but you go to church. You read some Bible, you do some praying, which will be useless things in actual fact, but you do it, it's good you do it because at least they remind you of your need of it. But I know it's useless because no blessing will come of it unless it is that cry to God for pardon and new life, friends. But this is how you keep going, and then gradually, even going to church stops, and then you are far off. Friends, the warning is this: if at this very moment you are remaining in that state of standing afar off from God, you do not know Him, you have no relationship with God, you mention His name, but you never really have a love for Him, a trust in Him, a true dependence upon His love and upon His pardon, then you are standing afar from Him. And our point is this: you wouldn't stay where you are. You will keep going. You will go further and further away from God. Oh, my dear friends, until there may come a point where you will hardly be concerned about anything about your soul. You may become perhaps absorbed with something else, absorbed with the pursuit of money, absorbed with the pursuit of earthly honors, absorbed with some political interests or something else that will so overwhelm you and you entirely ignore matters of your soul. And this will be very terrible. And so the prophet pictures a very worsening situation for us because we've gone astray. Going astray takes a step at a time, but before long, we have gone far, far away, and entirely exactly like sheep, absorbed into something else. Perhaps, as I mentioned, some food elsewhere, which has taken up our total attention, so that we will not want to come at all. Oh, friends, now that you may remember something of God, now that like sheep, you've not lost everything of the shepherd's voice. You've not lost everything of a sense that this is the shepherd's voice. What does that sound like? You listen to the Bible. You read the Bible. You still go to a Bible preaching and teaching church. And when they teach about the things of God, salvation and forgiveness of sins, these things still move you. These things still affect you. You feel your need of it. Friend, don't delay. Don't delay. Turn to the Lord. Come as a sheep that has strayed and is coming home. And come to your shepherd and he will receive you. Come, the Lord Jesus Christ is thy shepherd. And our text will tell us what he's done. The Lord Jesus Christ is thy shepherd who alone can receive you and bring you to himself. Friends, and there's something our passage tells us here. It's here. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Now, this is individual diversion. The first part is the broad, general diversion. All of us have gone away from God and we are still going. But the prophet, it draws our attention also to the fact that, well, this involves individual going astray. So it is not a kind of a mass thing where majority of the persons are merely involved passively, but it is an individual matter also. So that one sheep may have been drawn by something else, another sheep may have been drawn by a different thing, another sheep may have been drawn away by a different thing, but all of us have been drawn away from our shepherd. And so the Lord intends to teach us that. So sometimes, like, this is a very important lesson this verse, this particular line of the verse brings to mind. Sometimes the reason why some people don't take matters of their soul seriously is that they really have their mind upon particular sins. And they think that, well, if somebody committed such thing, well, this is really monstrous. It is all terrible. If somebody were a murderer, if somebody were this or that, then that's so terrible. My dear friend, the point of this line is this, that the person may be expressing his state of diversion, distraction from the Lord by the lifestyle of murder and things like this. But as long as you also stand away from the Lord, something else has also taken you away from the Lord. Something is also keeping you far away from the Lord. You may not be a murderer, but it may be something else. There's an individual diversion. All of us have something that has taken us away from the Lord. And so you better focus. See, so the focal point is this. It is never, oh, when I look around, I don't do the things other people do. Everybody around me commits such and such a sin, but I don't do such things. It is never that. It is always this. Am I in the fold of God? I am like a sheep. God sees me as a sheep. Am I in his fold? Am I in a conscious relationship with God? Is my heart his? Do I look upon my life as ruled and governed by him? Am I entirely under his rule? Am I entirely dependent upon his pardon and love in the Lord Jesus Christ? Or am I really very confident of myself? I may, in my opinion, but actually you would be wrong entirely. You may say to yourself, I may not be like other persons committing such sins. Oh, but as long as I am not in this conscious relationship with the Lord, I'm equally cut off from God. I'm equally like a sheep gone astray, afar off from the living God, and you do not know him. Oh, friends, come and seek his love and forgiveness of sins. Come in repentance. Remember that remember the individual sins you are committing. If it is a sin, if you've never come to the Savior, if you've never looked upon him, if you've never repented of sin and yielded your life to him, if you've never feel ashamed of how you've lived your life and now come to him, trusting only what the Savior has done, remember that you stand afar off from the Lord. You are in a spiritual diversion. Now, look at the passage. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. You see, the prophet Isaiah uses a language that seems gentle. To say that we've gone astray from the Lord may seem very harmless. As I mentioned earlier, it may seem just a mere slipping of the path, but now it tells us what it really is. It is an iniquity. It is a sin. Why? Why is my diversion from God? Okay, if I decide to be a kind of a moral person, but I'll have nothing to do with Christianity. What if I say, okay, I'll go to church. I'll be involved in church, but I will not seek personal conversion. I'll just go. I'll just give my money. I'll just try to be a nice person, but I will never seek personal conversion. And I'll explain what we mean by that shortly. And I will not seek that personal conversion. Will that work? Will that be sufficient? No. Because in your plane, your condition, whilst you have not been converted, you are in a state of sin. You are a sinner. The diversion is a condition of sin. And so, the prophet speaks to draw attention to that. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. You see, the Lord laid upon him the iniquity. He spoke of our going astray. Now he comes up to say, it is iniquity. So the consequences of that iniquity, the consequences of our going astray was that which was laid upon the Savior. Because our going astray was punishable. Why was it punishable? Because it was rebellion. It was rebellion against our shepherd. God is our shepherd, and our going away was a way to say that, no, we don't want your government. No, I'm tired of you. I don't want any God to rule me. I want to be my own Lord, my own master. Oh, friends, that's the proud language God hears. Every diversion represents pride and a shout at God that we will not be ruled by him. You remember that in the history of the people of Israel, this was their problem, that it was the thing that ushered them into even more troubles when they asked for a king. And then God told his servant Samuel to tell them that it is he, God, whom they have rejected. And so God said, well, he will give them the king they wanted and told them all the things that will come as a result of that. Friends, it is rebellion. You know, that diversion is intended to disparage our owner. God is our owner. And we wanted to show off how we can do without him. And yet, we will have no beauty to show. When people live, supposedly, without God and feel very independent, is there any real beauty in their lives? They may be nice persons and cultured persons and things like those. But what do they really live for? What is the aim of their lives? What is the purpose and goal? If you were to ask them, what is the meaning of your living? What's the objective of your living? He will sadly have to answer as if he is really living, as if he were not created. As if he was just created, he was really made to die, live and die, and that's all. We have no beauty, my dear friends, without a true heavenly hope. As the psalmist says, we become like beasts that perish. Man without understanding, Psalm 49, are like beasts that perish. And so it is. And so we disparage our Lord and our Maker. It is, I don't know whether you live in places where there are sheep that have gone astray with no shepherd, and they seem to have no home they can sleep in. I know a place, a community in Cape Coast, where the sheep at night come to congregate at the center of the street, at the roundabout somewhere there, and then sleep there. And sometimes at the break of day, they roam about and they are beating. People throw things at them. And sometimes, I'm sure you know, some people even insult the sheep and say, where is your owner? And they will add an insult to that. Now, our going astray, the consequences that our maker, our owner, is disparaged. When people live like this as they do, and the limacy for all they were made for is to chase after material things and live after our lusts, we disparage our Lord and our Maker. And this is sin, to so discredit, so bring shame upon our Maker and upon our owner, is that which is punishable. Why? If a citizen of a country does something so heinous in another country, we all would say he's brought disgrace upon our nation, and the authorities would like to punish such a person. Oh, friends, here is the purpose of our, here's the reason why it's a sin, because our going away from the Lord also brings such dishonor upon God. And it is actually going headlong into destruction. And it is a foolish thing, because having gone astray from our Maker, friends, there is only one thing that would happen. Have you ever seen a sheep that has gone astray? And somehow it flourished and flourished and flourished and flourished. No, it becomes a prey. And it becomes sick. And it dies sadly. And so it is with us. We are like sheep gone astray. And so going astray was a great sin. It wasn't a harmless thing. It was a destructive thing. And this is the love of God. But God has laid on him. This is the suffering servant, the Lord Jesus Christ. God has laid on him the iniquity of us all. This iniquity of having gone away from God has to be laid upon him, because that's the only way by which we can be restored. By having gone away from the Lord, we cut ourselves from him for that cord to be restored, for that union, friendship to be restored. That punishment has to be borne. And the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, came to represent us, to stand in our place, to be the sin bearer. And he went to the cross of Calvary so that his Father, who is holy, will put upon him this holy wrath which our sins deserved. And our Savior bore it quietly and calmly out of love for us. And so, why are we reminded of this? Why is the prophet reminding us of this? Because it will be the only hope of human beings. It is the only hope for human beings. And so the invitation has always been, come. Come and seek restoration with the Lord. Come and seek it in the Lord Jesus Christ, who bore this punishment for sin. Come and admire him and see what he's done. Someone to stand in your place if you will repent of sin and call upon him. Look upon such a Savior with admiration and wonder and yield yourself to him. He is your only hope. He is your only anchor. He is your only escape. There's none else. Would you come to him? And seek his love and seek his pardon and ask him to bring you home. Friend, you are a wounded sheep by now. You are a sick sheep by now. You are really distorted sheep. You are entirely absorbed in some, permit me use this a strong word, in some useless thing. And yet you think you will survive without God. Friends, you may accumulate whatever you want for yourself, but remember your owner whom you despise and went astray. You will have to meet him one day. God will have to judge you. You were once in his fold and he went astray. By the time he comes in the day of judgment, if you have not come for him to change you and to wash you and to bless you and to make you his own, you would have become like a goat, so troublesome, so unworthy of any fold of our Savior. Come to him now, friends. Turn your life over to him and ask him to have mercy upon you and come home. Come home. Come so you be settled in the fold of God, where you should belong. Let's pray together. O Lord our God, we praise thee for this great love of our dear Saviour. We ask that thou would speak to us, each one of us, and enable us to see our state. O Lord, to feel the danger, the fact that it is such an unsafe thing to stand away from thee. So we may come to thee now and find forgiveness. Help us to long for home, long for restoration, long to be brought back to God. Help us, Lord, and bless us. Show us our dear Saviour's love. Grant the grace of repentance and bring us to spiritual life. We ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour, and for his sake. Amen. Now, friends, let's close with hymn number 395. Hymn number 395. Loosed from my God and far removed, long have I wandered to and fro. Hymn number 395.